Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron Snow, and they call me the Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions, as we travel the world for past, present, and future stars, as we deal with the boxing news, the interviews, the boxing history, and legend tales, as we travel the world looking for them stars in our radio aficionado coming live from Pottsville, Pennsylvania, who takes us in and out around the world looking for these great events that are going on. Bob Murray, welcome into the show, Bob.
Hey, Aaron, thank you, and good morning, everyone. Yes, indeed. Hey, big one tonight, too, we'll be talking about, and some other big news to cover as well today, too. So looking forward to a good show.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, Bob, before we go any further, you know, we lost somebody else, Johnny Gant down there in Atlanta. You know, he was a fighter and things, and our condolences go out to everyone that of his family members, friends, and all that. And our prayers are with his family, so bless them. But, Bob, look, man, there's a lot going on, and you're talking about the big fight tonight with Crawford, who, man, pound for pound, one of the best in the world, bro. You know, it's going to be amazing how the fight goes. But we'll talk about that later on in the show. But, Bob, come on with that boxing news you got.
Oh, yeah, okay. You know, so, of course, we're going to go out to the desert once again. And we're going to the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, Nevada, USA, for the ESPN Plus pay-per-view event, featuring the undefeated WBO World Welterweight Champion Terence Crawford, undefeated 37-0, 28 KOs, defending his crown against the 31-3-1 with 17 KOs Sean Porter. The other 12-rounder spotlights two unbeaten fighters, with Esquiva Falcao, 28-0, 20 KOs, stepping in with Patrice Volney, 16-0, 10 of those wins by KO. Also, it's Zanabek Amirkanuli, 10-0, versus Hassan Endan, 38-5, for the WBO Global Middleweight Belt. And featherweights Isaac Dogbo, 22-2, and Christopher Diaz, 26-3, square off. The Trent Rollins, 11-2-1, versus Fernando Rodrigo Samoa's the Almeida, 9-4 heavyweight class, tops the bill in Pomona, California. And in Mesa, Arizona, lightweights Thomas Valdez, 19-3-2, and Herman Ivan Moraes, 64-59-3, they meet up there. Undefeated super featherweight Abel Mendoza, 30-0 with 23 KOs, takes on Victor Zaleta, 20 wins, 5 losses, and a draw, go with 10 KOs. That's the headliner in Mescalero, New Mexico, while in Hammond, Indiana, the Russell Fiore, 26-3-1 versus Luis Hinojosa, 31-16, super lightweight bout closes the show. Louisville, Kentucky will have the female lightweight attraction of Carice Brown versus Alicia Alcero. An undefeated 15-0 welterweight, DeJuan Johnson, is showcased in Atlanta, Georgia. Miami, Florida hosts the Uniel Dordicos, 24-2 versus Jesse Bryan, 20 wins, 5 losses, 2 draws. Contest at the top of the bill there. That also features the Frank Diaz versus Luis LeBron Ortiz fight for the WBO Fedex Central Super Featherweight title. Ocala, Florida has the Jose Ocasio versus Ulysses Rosales bantamweight battle as their topper. And Greenville, South Carolina shines the spotlight on 8-0 lightweight Dorian Bostic, while in Myrtle Beach, 8-0 featherweight Daniel Bailey is showcased. The 2300 Arena in Philadelphia closes their show with the Jason Bernadine, 4-0-1 versus Jeremy Cuevas, 13-1 lightweight clash. And in Newark, New Jersey, the main event is the 9-0 Emmanuel Rodriguez versus Delvin McKinney, and that's a bantamweight showdown. Super lightweights Jonathan Jose Inez and Rohan Palasco face off in Dedham, Massachusetts. In La Antigua, Veracruz, Mexico, cruiserweights Elvis Garcia and Roberto Ventura duke it out. And super welterweight Omar Ulysses Huerta, 8-0, is featured in Tijuana. Debuting super middleweights John Jeremio Cistos and Javet Martinez Anguiano face off in Tijuana. And debuting in Quintaro, we also have the 10-round middleweight bout between 7-0 Arnold Gonzalez and Jorge Luis Prieto as the topper in Manta, Ecuador. Tai Chi Sports TV will be in the Federal District of Buenos Aires, Argentina, where Marcela Eliana Acuna, 50 wins and 7 losses, steps in with Deborah Anahi Dionysius, 31-3, for the WBO Interim World Female Featherweight Crown. And the co-main event will see Kevin Luis Munoz, undefeated at 12-0, cross the ropes with Aniel Nicolas Aquino, who's 8-4-1, and that's for the South American Super Flyweight strap. And as Brian Manuel Suarez, 15-0, and Juan Boada vying for the vacant WBO Latino light heavyweight belt. Canal 9 TV will be in Ingeniero Maschwitz, highlighting the Nicolas Emiliano Paz versus Cesar Alejandro Perez lightweight scrap, while lightweights Christian Ruben Mino and Rodrigo Gustavo Gabriel Roldan clash in Santos Lugares. Tigre will host the Christian Rodrigo Gonzalez versus Lucas Fabian Fraga lightweight scrap. And in Trenque Joaquin, the middleweight match of Abel Nicolas Abriel versus Augustin Guimel closes the curtain there. Over now to Kinshasa, the Democratic Republic of the Congo, where the headliner is the Paul Kamanga. He's 22-2 versus Philip Busariki, 7-2-2, super welterweight contest. And Carlos Perez, 16-6-2, fights Salvador Barón, 7-1-2 for the Spanish lightweight title in the main event in Sevilla, Andalusia, Spain. While in Segovia, Castilla y León, the Elianiel Guerrero versus Robert Gusti super lightweight tussle is the finale there. Douai, France, we'll see Segurine Lefebvre. She's undefeated, 14-0, battle Paulette Venezuela, 13-1, and that's for the open WBO World Female Super Bantamweight Crown. And in Grenoble, Nicolas Salci, 14-4-1, faces Eddie Lacrosse, 12-7-2 for the country's vacant cruiserweight title. And Elsa Homer and Marion Montanari fight for the country's female super lightweight strap. Lightweights Aku Oyed and Sebastian Shiro meet up in Ore. The bout for the open EBU European bantamweight crown between Alessio Lorusso, 15-4-2, and the 19-4-1 Thomas Masson is the headliner in Carugate, Lombardia, Italy. And in Montava, the middleweight clash of Gianluca Papalardo versus Kasumu Muhammadu is at the top of that bill. Rome will feature the light heavyweight matchup of Giovanni Carpentieri versus Zura Mercarajavili, while in Monte Prandone in March, host the Nadia Flahi versus Ksenia Medic female super featherweight contest. Munich, Germany will see the 17-1 Emre Kuker and the 8-0 Matteo Heisch fight for the open WBA Continental super middleweight belt, with the co-main event pitting Oel Hernandez, he's 11-1, against Pavel Samjonov, 25-19-2, and that's for the WBF world middleweight title. Also in Munich, super welters Adel Elgarmau versus Batu Berkatashvili do battle. ESPN will be on this afternoon. They'll be broadcasting from Hamburg, where two unbeatens will square off for the vacant WBC International silver heavyweight crown as Jean Kosobutski. He's 16-0, 15 of those 16 wins by the knockout. He slugs it out with Alexis Garcia, who's 11-0 with 7 KOs. And the undercard is stopped with the Avni Yildirim. He's 23-4 versus Yusuf Kanguel. 20 wins, 4 losses in a draw, middleweight bout. And Jose Larduet and Leonardo Daniel Robute both seek the open WBC Latino heavyweight crown. Then in Nordrhein-Westfalen, will host the battle for the vacant WBU German version European Cruiserweight Championship between the 7-0 Alexander Schurhoff and the 4-0 Amir Umayev. Heil Braun in Baden-Württemberg hosts the IBO Intercontinental Superweight title fight between the 14-0 Slava Spalmer and the 8-0-1 Jose Gregorio Suero. Artem Dalakian, undefeated at 20-0 with 14 KOs, defends his WBA World Flyweight belt when he takes on the challenger Luis Concepcion, 39-8, 28 KOs, in the headliner from Kiev, Ukraine. Now back to Wembley Arena in London, UK, where Sky TV will televise the fight for the open 3BFC British light heavyweight title between Hosea Burton, 26-2, and the 14-0 Dan Aziz. Also is Richard Riacaporje, 12-0, and Olan Rewazu Duodola, 36-8, for the Open WBC Silver Cruiserweight Crown. Your call in action tonight in London as well, with the topper being the Bradley Spencer versus Jordan Granum Super Middleweight Contest. And Workshop in Nottinghamshire features the welterweight matchup of Declan Cairns versus George Rogers, while Swindon in Wiltshire hosts the Jensen Irving versus Evgeny Vasym Super Welterweight Attraction. Yorkshire's Rotherham tops their bill with a lightweight fight between Lewis Sylvester and Lee Connolly. And down under now to Mansfield, Queensland, Australia, where Lachlan O'Shea takes on Ben Horn for the Australia-Queensland State Welterweight Championship. And Declan Kelly and Matt Hacker both seek the vacant AFBF Australasian middleweight strap. And we end today in Kobe, Japan, where Oka Inoue, 11-2-1, squares off against Aoba Maori. He's 7-2-1, and that's for the vacant Japanese youth flyweight title. And there we go, 13 countries, up one from last week, but a lot of action throughout the States and throughout Europe, as we always like seeing Europe getting back into the game there, and everything's happening around the world.
Yeah, it's happening. Boston is definitely on the move. And also with that big fight out there with Crawford tonight is big. But, Bob, let me tell you, our boxing historian, Henry Hascop, who's president of the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, boy, his event that they hold in for the induction ceremony for the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame, everybody said it was a grand smash again, man. Jam-packed, people hanging off the rafters. The food was flying everywhere. Bellies were so full, people were saying they had to take a sleeping pill while they were handing out the awards. They were nodding, and they said the ice cream was pouring down, you know. They said just everything. It was a wonderful event there at the New Jersey Boxing Hall of Fame with Henry Hascop. Thanks so much and for everybody who attended. You know, I know you enjoyed yourself, and I'm sorry that I couldn't make it this year, but there's always next year, Bob. But to take it a little further south, down in Mexico City, Mexico, the WBC with Mauricio Suleiman, boy, did they have a convention down there, boy, and it topped it off with Mexican legends like Julio Cesar Chavez. And coming from our neck of the woods, Eastern Pennsylvania, the Eastern Assassin, Larry Holmes, he was there. And then you had Money Mayweather showed up, and he did a little talking at one of the seminars. And also the great Sugar Ray Leonard, he was down there, and most of a host of other great WBC champions. And guess what, Bob?
What's that?
Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, yeah.
Canelo Alvarez stole the show. They asked for Canelo Alvarez's camp to move up in weight class and fight the WBC cruiserweight champion,
Ilunga Makabu,
Makabu, to fight him in a unification fight sometime in May. And it looks like it's buzzing. You know, at once they gave him special permission to take on that fight from the board, boy, social media lit up like a firecracker with that announcement about Canelo Alvarez. Hey, he said he was going to take some time off. It looks like he is. May is, you know, a little part away, but come springtime, headed into the summer, boy, in May, we're going to have that great fight. So, Bob, a lot of great things came out of that convention down there.
Oh, no kidding. Yes, indeed. And also, that might be a Cinco de Mayo event too, because we know Canelo likes to fight on that holiday down in Mexico. So we don't have a date yet, but they're talking May, which makes you kind of think they might be talking about, you know, the Cinco de Mayo weekend too.
Yeah, absolutely, Bob. It's always been a big holiday. I know Don King, you know, and the cruiserweight champion is Don King's fighter. So
right.
Don King's still back at it. He has couple cruiserweight champions. It looks like if they can come to some type of deal, bang, I think that's a magnificent fight to see a young man trying to accomplish his goals. I think that would be five championships.
That'd be five divisions, yeah.
Yeah, five divisions would be a mark in history, second to none. So when you're on that level, you have to keep having things in front of you that keep motivating you to train, is because money softens you up. When your pocket full of money and you get the wrinkles out of the belly and the hunger's gone and drive, that's what happens to a lot of guys. They have a lot of money and they're living the life of luxury. They ain't as hungry as they used to be. They relax in training and, you know, everything that it takes to prepare. And when you prepare, when you fail to prepare, you prepare to fail. And that's what happens with a lot of guys. And we hope that's not the case with Canelo Alvarez. I hope that they go in there and both of them just put on a magnificent fight, because that's what we need now, Bob.
Right. Now, we have some other news coming out of the heavyweight division, too. We now see that Luis Ortiz and Charles Martin are fighting on New Year's Day. It'll be a pay-per-view event, too. And also Tyson Fury and Dillian Whyte looking for March, possibly in Cardiff, Wales, at the big stadium there, too. So those things are kind of popping through this past week, too. So a little bit of news there, too.
Yeah, there's some news, but there's also controversy. You know, Tyson Fury's all the time going to have some hand in his great hand. He all the time makes it going. So I guess Bob Arum comes up and says, well, they don't want to do the WBC mandatory, which, you know, if he wants that WBC belt, that's what he's going to have to do. He's going to have to fight that mandatory. Bob Arum was talking about Usyk looks like a better guy.
Right.
You know, because he has the IBF, WBA, and the rest of those belts. So it's going to be interesting in the following months to see what really happens. You know, these guys got to, you know, at some point in the time, you got to let egos go, and you got to do the main thing that keeps boxing going on. If you can unify, but you got to follow the rules that you're up under too, in trying to do that. And with the, you know, the Dante Wilder and all of that stuff, you see, when you slow, you blow. And he, you know, even though he fought the third fight, but he blew a big fight back then, you know, when they put that $100 million contract in front of him, he didn't want to take it. But Canelo Alvarez, when they put $380 million down on the table, which was real, baby, you know, yeah. Canelo Alvarez said, hey, and that's what made him one of the richest athletes, is when he signed that contract. So you have to seize the moment and seize the opportunity when those opportunities come your way. You can't ponder and you can't overthink, because when you slow, you just blow it all. And once you blow it all, it hardly ever comes back. Like the great Muhammad Ali said, he said, when they put millions of dollars down there like that, he said, you push. He said, when you can't push no further, you grab the pen, you sign as fast as you can, is because you don't want these guys who are putting up the money to say, now, why am I giving this guy all this money to get it hit upside the head? Am I crazy? And he said, they'll take it back. So, like he said, you know, get them millions, man, when you can get them. You know, they don't always come around, and it ain't always going to be there like that. So, you know, the great Muhammad Ali. And then he said, once you sign, then you argue about all the other things that you want. He said, but don't let the millions get away.
You know what? Just a note, too. Canelo Alvarez had made a minimum of $40 million on that fight last couple weeks ago. So, That's where he's starting at, $40 million. And until they count all the nickels and dimes that are still rolling in, he's standing to make a little bit of money on that. So, yeah, $40 million plus.
Yeah, that's guaranteed money. You know, that's not that, you know, and that's a a heck of a day in the boxing ring. Boy, you can get $40 million, baby, to glove them up and to beat somebody up. Hey, man, that's really something. But as we talked about last week, Bob, his pay-per-view ratings are they're all right, but they ain't as good as they should be at 800 and some thousand buys.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Decent, but, you know, Canelo Alvarez, you know, he can do better than that in the box office. He can do at least 2 million.
Right.
Something like that.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, something like that. Now, tonight's fight, it'll be interesting to see what kind of numbers you get for Crawford Porter, though, too, because it's, you know, we talked about Terrence Crawford for a long time about how sometimes he doesn't get to fight the right guy that he wants. And, you know, over the fights he's been doing in welterweight, it's just a matter of, getting in there and getting people to recognize him and know who he is. But we're curious to see what numbers they pull in tonight.
Yeah, you know, Terrence Crawford's problem is that he hasn't had the type of opponents that are box office draws in front of
right.
him. You know, and because Porter's a two-time world champion, you know, maybe this is his opportunity to, you know, not only can he fight, he's in the pound-for-pound list, but he has to be promoted in the way that he can earn as well as he can fight. And
right.
and sometimes it's a hit or miss with that. And I hope that this is his defining moment tonight. Pushes him over the hump so he can get his just due. But he's in there with a former champion, and if he ain't on his game, you know, he could he can be dethroned like anyone else.
Right.
But some of the keys to victory for Porter, if he has trained, you know, he's fighting someone that fights southpaw a lot and can switch, but mainly a southpaw. At some point, sometime, he's going to have a good straight right hand with a left hook somewhere. And can he take a left hook around Crawford's body? And can he back him up and trap him on the ropes and things, cut that ring off where he's not able to swing out and things where he can put him against the ropes, Porter, and really bang Crawford around the body. But in doing that, you have careful is that Crawford throws a good left uppercut from a southpaw, and the feet position is always the key when you're fighting a southpaw. You know, Crawford's been able to get his position with his feet very well where he can continually throw punches, you know. If Porter's able to take that foot position away from him and deliver that straight right hand or a left hook, he may have a path to victory. Now Crawford, what he has to do, he has to go out and take control of the center of the ring. You know, if he could be able to move around a little bit, slide left, slide right, you know, use his jab, throw combination with that foot position, you know, it'd be a long night for Porter as he stacks up and wins round after round. You know, and can Porter fight backing up? You know, at some point in time, Crawford backs a lot of guys up. And if Crawford backs Porter up, is Porter able to make the adjustment of always used to coming forward? Can he make the adjustment to back up and fight Crawford in that southpaw style? You know, there's some of the keys tonight
right.
to victory, but I figure I'm looking for a distance fight, Bob, you know. And,
okay.
Let's see if Crawford can deliver that.
Right, it'll be a good fight. Well, we know that, and it'll be interesting to see again how many buys there are too. How many people are going to check this fight out? And it's not a bad undercard too. You have those two unbeaten guys going at it, Falcao and Volney. That's a pretty big one. That's the co-main event, the 12-rounder. And, you know, it's just going to be a good card. We get to see Isaac Dogbo again. He's 22-2, and Diaz squaring off to four featherweights. And so it's not going to be a bad card either. So, you know, it should be some entertaining matchups on that entire event card.
Yeah, you know, Porter basically was with Al Haymon, you know, with the Fox Network. Now they, you know, decide to fight somebody that's with Bob Arum. So, you know, it's a promoter deal fight. And, you know, when these type of things happen, you know, a lot more emotions, a lot more feeling are involved. And when you have that, you know, it makes for a real passionate, you know, action-packed fight. And I hope both of them can deliver that action-packedness, because we need it in boxing, you know, for both of them go in there and put it all on the line.
Right.
And at the weigh-in, both of them weighed 146 and some, you know.
Yeah, 10, yeah, four, like 24,
yeah,
26,
yeah. Yeah, the pound. So both of them are ready to go. I like when they were in there showing them abs, showing the six-pack, show that they've been doing the right thing. And they have no belly fat. You can see the muscles rippling in their stomach, you know, like the old hawk making
right.
Hawk moves, showing muscles and things like that. You know, it's good to see athletes when they feel that they're at their peak condition to get up out of weigh and make the weight real comfortably and then show how hard they were working and all that. But still in all, Bob, when it's light camera action, you have to do it all in the boxing ring.
Right.
That's
it comes down to that, right? All the talk and everything else comes down to mano versus mano, you know?
Yeah, it does. And let's hope tonight that they can perform on that level.
Yeah, yes, indeed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Bob, you know, Mike Tyson, you know, has been in the news again.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't too much where he says about he's fighting, but apparently somebody pulled up an old podcast of his that he was doing an Apple podcast, and he was talking about smoking some type of frogs. he said it's therapeutic that he found out and that he died and all that, you know. Some things, you know, need not to be said, you know. Keep all that stuff for your one man show where people are going to sit in the audience and laugh. You know, it's amazing that Mike can talk and cross cultural lines like that. But I know from training him, Bob, is that he trains very hard and he sacrificed. You know, a lot of that garbage that he's talking about is just for entertainment to keep people interested. But that guy, let me tell you, Mike Tyson trains hard and diligently. Else he would have never accomplished the things that he accomplished in his life. It's hard work, you know, and it's glad to see that he can get that kind of audience to go across cultural agendas, you know, saying all that kind of stuff. And, you know, Mike Tyson's been in a lot of world title fights, and, you know, you get tested for drugs and marijuana and all that. And he's always passed the bill. So,
right.
So much good for all of that kind of
right.
stuff. So it's funny with all the antics when they come out. So we'll see what happens, Bob.
Right. And we will. We'll still see if he's going to fight again or not. I mean, that kind of came and went, that big flurry of all the old guys coming out there and fighting. And like I said, we don't know what happened with that Holyfield exhibition, but we haven't heard a lot of talk about these guys getting in the ring since then, though.
Yeah, we know what happened. Evander Holyfield, whether it was for real, he got knocked out or not, you know, he got stopped whether if it was real or it was staged in the exhibition, it is what it is. And when that happened, it lost all the steam.
Right. Exactly. Yep.
you know what they say, you look for a tune up and you get tuned out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure at this stage of the game he could have used $10 million, $15 million. We tried to tell Evander Holyfield then. Remember, he was asking for $30 million and some dollars like that, and they had a
right.
solid offer on the table.
For Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
Around again, yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, remember, I said $10 million. You better grab that quick, fast,
right.
in a hurry.
Exactly.
Remember when you were saying that? Now he missed out on,
Yeah.
Let's take it over to England, Bob. Anthony Joshua.
Okay.
You know, it's my understanding Anthony Joshua was looking for addition to his training staff, you know. So let's see how all of that turns out. You know, we don't really know the ins and outs of what's going on in his camp. Only what we're hearing in the media and the newspaper is that he had came to the United States looking at different trainers and stuff like that to help him along the way. And I'm going to tell, like any guy that are in his position that's trying to come back and have a rematch fight, ain't nothing easy. It's hard work. And in that hard work, you got to have a plan. And when you have a plan, you got to train the plan, you got to work the plan, and then you got to fight the plan. And most of all is that you have to have respect for the people that are around you. You can hire the best trainers in the world if you don't want to listen to them and their expertise, see? And the main reason a lot of these guys get in this position, Bob, is that they don't want to pay their trainers, the going rate. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You know, guys work with them when they're not making pennies, develop them and work with them. Then when they start making millions of dollars, they don't want to pay the trainers their training a percent or fee, whatever. And that's an unjust.
Yeah.
Because it ain't all about you. And the first thing they say, we do it all by ourselves. Yeah, you win by yourself and you lose by yourself. But in the meantime, you make all the money by yourself, but you want to blame the trainers and don't want to pay them. I never understood that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, really.
Yeah. But teamwork makes the dream work, and you only get what you pay for. Don't give somebody 2 cents, else you catch a 2 cent problem. And you know, if you're going to play the blame game, at least you can pay them to be blamed.
Yeah. make it work that way. Yeah.
And then, you know, well, when he lose, first thing come out of most of them now. Well, my training, no. Hey, you win together and lose together. And right. And most great trainers, something happened, they'll take the blame anyway.
Right.
You know, the same way when you take the accolades when you win, accolades when you lose. You
right.
know, it's just part of the territory of being a professional, be a trainer. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes fight right. plans are the wrong fight plans. And the guy ends up going in there and fight the wrong plan or fight the wrong way or the guy you're fighting came in and did some unexpected things.
Right, did some different things that you weren't planning. Right, exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, what Anthony Joshua has to do is really, really soul search, and he has to realistically look. Hey, do I want to do this at this level anymore, right? And if I want to do it at this level anymore, on a championship level, I have to prepare in the right way. I got to be focused in the right way. And I have to be diligent in order to win. And if he gets that kind of mindset, you know, he is Olympian and he is a two-time heavyweight champion. Now can he go to the well and get it three times?
Right. Yeah.
You know, that's what people like to see. That shows fortitude, heart of a champion, you know, all of those different types of things. It showed if you can dig down inside you, you can get that discipline back up under you. You know, if you can stay focused, if you can practice the fundamentals, Bob, the hardest thing for athletes to do once they get going, and this is in any sport, and you got a pocket full of money, you know, the hard work comes from you have to keep going over fundamentals. See, on the high end, the fundamentals are what gets your skills sharp. It keeps your tools sharp. But great athletes going over those fundamentals. And the only time they want to go back to the drawing board is where they come up losing or it didn't turn out the way they thought it was. Then, oh, man, then they want to do all of that. But to stay on top of that mountain, if you keep your tools sharp, and you're in great shape, you're going to keep getting the results that you're looking for. And teamwork makes the dream work, and you got to listen to somebody.
Right.
No man is an island.
Right. You know, it's like just took that analogy again. Got to make your free throws. You know? Talk about fundamentals, yeah. But you know what Joshua can do is we know him already from coming back against Ruiz. Now, of course, Ruiz came out and beat him the second time. He made the adjustments and won the fight. So we see what Joshua can do after coming off a defeat, and we'll see how he adjusts to Usyk the second time.
Oh, absolutely. You know, with Usyk, you know, because he puts a lot of pressure. He just don't put pressure. He puts a lot of punching pressure on. But a big, strong guy like Anthony Joshua, fundamental tools and working those tools, he can keep Usyk at bay and keep up with that punching pace. You know, the best analogy that I look at is when Muhammad Ali lost to Leon Spinks. And Ali was, he looked at it realistically. You know, he said, man, this young man, I didn't believe he could fight like that. He said his punching pace was so strong. He was just throwing a lot of punches, and I wasn't in condition to handle that punching pace of his youthfulness and that spirit in it. But Ali went back to the drawing board and in the rematch, it was a whole together different story. Ali was able to handle that and control that punching pace of Leon Spinks and that youthfulness. You know, and one thing that Ali kept doing when he get close to him, tie him up so he couldn't get a bunch of punches off.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, he would tie him up, and that's not holding. See,
no,
people.
Right,
People, you can't be afraid to tie up. Bob, because that's part of the game.
Right.
You know, it ain't unnecessarily a holding. That's a tool. That's an effective tool. You know, when a guy's being busy, if you can tie him up so he can't punch, that's a defensive move.
Right.
It ain't like you're over aggressively doing that. You know, guys, everything they do, tie a guy up. No. You know, you punch when you want to punch and tie them up and take them for a walk, and then you take them for a dance, and then you do the cha-cha and the boogie-boogie and go back to work. Yeah, but that's, you know, that's a great part of that. But, you know, Anthony Joshua was in a real, real unique position, Bob, and you know, he's definitely people are interested in him, and they come out to see what he's going to do.
And oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, he's still the draw, no doubt about it. Yeah,
yeah, he's still a draw, and it's and he's going to be something to reckon with if he can get back focus. You know where he's at. You know, a lot goes on when you're heavyweight champion, man. Things that are go on around you. You know, it's like you're in a whirlwind, man, and time is moving quick, fast, in a hurry. You know, it's everything's just speeded up. But if he can get focused, settle all of that down and get to the drawing board and have a great plan and go in and fight the plan and fight the fight, it probably can beat Usyk.
Right, sure.
You know, he's a big guy.
Yeah. They said, we'll see. I mean, he came back and did it against Ruiz, who was a bigger guy. I mean, definitely not.
Yeah.
Usyk's nowhere near his size. Ruiz with the giant sombreros and all that. But, yeah, Usyk, you know, he's going to have to do something, too. He'll adjust, too, somehow, you know, as far as being able to read it. So it does come down to what he thinks, too, as far as Usyk. Is he going to continue doing what he did the first time, or is he going to make adjustments, figuring that Joshua was making adjustments?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a different thing. You know, he's been cruiserweight champ, but, you know, a big win like that, you know, a lot of different other things come at you. And is he going to be affected by the other things that come at you while you're heavyweight champion of the world?
Right, yeah. Usyk does have the belts now, too, three of them, you know, that he took. And yeah, we're not hearing too much out of his camp, but I'm sure we will as the date approaches. I believe they're set for February. Is that still on, I believe?
Yeah, I believe so, Bob.
Yeah.
I believe so. But, you know, getting back to Tyson Fury, you know, Joe Joyce said that he wants to fight Dillon. If Fury doesn't. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of politicking going on, Bob, as we move forward, you know.
And speaking of Ruiz, too, we're still hearing those rumors about him and Wilder down the road, too.
Yeah.
Whether that happens.
We they made comment, and Luis said that he had a signed contract to fight him, but when would that take place? Because Dante Wilder's under suspension.
Right.
For being stopped. So you figure, what, 90 days, something like that?
I think, yeah, 90.
Yeah. So will he be ready in 90 days? But I like that matchup.
Yeah, I do, too. I definitely do. Yeah, it'll be a good platform for either one of them to advance on, yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Two former heavyweight champions battle are back to try to get to the top of the game. That's always interesting to see two former heavyweight champions fight.
And
styles make fights, Bob.
Exactly.
Styles make fights. One thing, the last thing that a boxer loses is punch, you know.
Right.
Dante Wilder might be on the other side of the mountain. But that punch ain't going nowhere. If he catch a guy.
That's still that right hand.
Yeah, if he catch a guy, it's a good night, Irene.
Exactly.
You know, it's good night, I bring.
Except if you're Tyson Fury to get up after one of them, a couple of them. he's the only guy who could take that hit and get back up. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, you know, Tyson Fury can take a licking and keep on ticking. He's
oh, whatever. You sell that, yeah.
A guy hits you with his best shoot, man. The guy, Dante Wallace says, man, what did I got to hit this guy with to keep
right
him
now? Out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We all remember that first fight, the first Wilder Fury one, yeah, where somehow Fury got up. He was out. He was out for 7 seconds or something. He somehow got himself up on his feet and ended up getting the draw, you know, which was with the start of the whole trilogy thing. But, yeah, wow. You get up out of that. Even this last fight, too, the third one, you know, Wilder knew he had to probably take care of business early and put Tyson Fury down twice in the fourth round, but that was that. You know, he got back up and eventually wore down Wilder. Wilder did look pretty beat by the end of that fight as far as getting tired and, you know, then he got put down. But still, yeah, Tyson Fury is an amazing fighter.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. But let's take it down, Bob, down to the 135 pounds, 140 pounds. Stevenson, you know, with his fight, that win that he had, boy, did he look good.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Everybody's talking about him a lot. He definitely increased his value a little bit with that. He's in the news. He's talked. You know, he's the talk. Shakur Stevenson, our guy from Jersey.
Yeah, you know, he put it all together that night with Herring. He really, really boxed his tail off, and he looked like the star everybody thought that he could become. Now that he did that, can he do that type of performance again against another champion? How about Lopez, Televito Lopez?
Yeah, he's fighting next week, too. We'll be talking about him a little more next week, too. Lopez in action.
Yeah, you know, with the Triller. Yeah. Yeah. You know, they all the time, you know, guys, that money, you know, comes to a problem. You know, they went to a lot of purse bids with different guys, different opponents that he was supposed to be fighting against, you know. And it looked like at the negotiating table, they can't come up with the funds. So it ends up going to different purse bids and stuff like that. And then the purse bids end up being messed up because the people that did the purse bid and bid mess the bid up, huh? So this young man, you know, you got to get it back on track, Lopez, because he's a dynamite, exciting fighter. And he needs some big names to stay up on that mountain so he can demand them type of million-dollar purses, you know?
Right.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of these guys want a lot of these big million-dollar purses, Bob, but they ain't big million-dollar draws.
Right, that's the thing. Yeah, you have to be able to earn that money by having the eyeballs watch you. And that's what
yeah.
It comes down to, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ain't it funny is that, you know, the Paul, he could go to Showtime and get a contract fight in four rounds, you
right.
know,
yeah.
Because he got eyeballs watching him.
Exactly.
You know, he got a platform.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings a lot of value to the table when you're at the negotiating table. You know, and
yeah.
Not only that, people come on the internet and on the tube to watch Paul and them. You know, it's amazing what he's done with social media at this time and age.
Yes, it is. And, you know, he has the Tommy Fury fight coming up soon, too. You know, speaking of Tyson's brother, Tommy. And there again, that's a name that people, you know, might not know him as well as Tyson Fury. But, you know, here is Tommy Fury and Jake Paul going at it. You know, it's like he's, you know, Paul's doing all right. He's 4-0, man. You know, he's not like he's not giving an end result there, too. You know, he's not just out there and getting beat up, you know, and saying, oh, watch me. You know, he's actually out there, you know, impressing some people, too, actually.
Well, boxing's a funny game, Bob, is that people will roar you on till you get on the top and you become successful. And then once you become successful, then they want to watch to see you get your butt whooped and high hand or tail whooped. You know, and with him, those antics are going to come into play. He's going to see the people going to flip on it, and then they rah-rah them on, then people are going to be watching him to get his butt whooped. You know, and how he handles that is going to be another thing. And the call, you know, the call and mess with Mike Tyson is a whole together different story. You know.
Right. Oh yeah, yeah.
they can take him for granted if they want to. You know, they look at Roy Jones. You know, Roy Jones is a former heavyweight champion.
Oh yes, yeah.
So when they look at Roy Jones, they're looking at a former world a heavyweight champion that they did that exhibition together.
Right.
You know?
That
he wasn't a 4-round fighter.
Right.
Or
exactly.
A 6-round fighter, so you know, you have to look at all of those different acts. But even though Mike Tyson's had experience is always your best teacher.
Right. Experience is. You know, just want to mention too while we're here that fight last night. It was WBO middleweight champion Demetrius Andre. He remained undefeated. He wiped out Jason Quigley in 3 knockdowns in 2 rounds. So that's a statement made by Andre there in the middleweight division.
Yeah, well, the middleweight division's always been a competitive division, is because the average human being is around about a middleweight.
Right.
You know, and so it's always been a lot of talent in the middleweight division, such as Hagler and stuff like that. You know, Tommy Hearns, when he moved up from 147, Sugar Ray Leonard.
He was Canelo, too, yeah.
Yeah, and Canelo. So what you look at time, it's always competitive. So we congratulate him on the win last night.
Yeah, big win. Like I said, we'll see how far he takes that and goes from there. And also, there was a big female fight last night, too. It was the IBO and WBA junior welterweight titles with Callie Reese coming up and beating Jessica Camara. That was a big fight, too. People were watching just because some of these, you know, down the road, we see McCaskill's waiting to maybe take on one of these guys, gals, you know, and the rest of the fights that are happening in the women's division, too, with Katie Taylor getting ready to fight in a couple of weeks on that undercard, and Clarissa Shields coming out, and Savannah Marshall. Those two are fighting on the same card, not against each other. That's December 11th, too. So a lot of that stuff happening. We're going to have some good fights coming up in the next month before we get to the 2022 here. You know, just some of these are things wrapping up the year.
Yeah, well, hats off to DAZN. They have made a commitment, DAZN has with Eddie Hearns, to bring women's boxing in England and around in the United States on the forefront. So they're putting a lot of fights, women fights, on the card, and they're also televising fights on DAZN to give women's sports and women's boxers the exposure that's needed. And
another big one. Yeah, go ahead. Finish that. Yeah.
Go ahead, Bob.
No, I was going to say another big one, too, is Amanda Serrano going with Triller. You know, so we're talking about, the Jake Paul and those guys around. But you got Serrano. She sees an opportunity there, too, to get in on some of those cards, too, and show off her stuff, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Serrano, she can go too. She's a good fighter.
She's a 6th division champion.
Yeah, isn't that something?
What weight do you want to fight at?
6 divisions, isn't that something?
That's amazing. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, that's a monumental defeat. But thanks to the boxing organizations like the WBC. Jill Diamond, who's a jewel on boxing, I know she pressed so much and so hard for women's boxing at the early stages when everything was just really getting out there. And Jill Diamond helped pull all of that together in order to where we see women boxing in this era, in this day. Thank you, Jill. Jill Diamond does so much for boxing. If you don't know who Jill is, she's a chairperson, international for WBC secretary, and she's also president of the WBC Cares, World Boxing Council, and also women's boxing president. So, Jill, hey, your vision of things look and your commitment, and Mauricio Sulaiman with their commitment to bring women's boxing on the forefront.
Yes, yes, indeed.
And you talk, you know, we mentioned earlier in the show about the Hall of Fame, you know, Lady Taggart, who was on our show, Bob.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know, she got inducted into the International Boxing Hall of Fame. She was a pioneer during the 70s of women boxing when they wouldn't even give them the time of day. And when she was on our show talking about that, she spoke about all the things that she had to fight through in gyms and, you know, stuff like that to try to get women the same opportunity that they can be exposed, and that it was being looked at as just a man's sport, is that you had to have tough and be tough a man in order to compete and to be a boxer. And the girls and the women are proving all of this wrong, you know, with it being a Olympian sport, you know, winning gold medals and things. Women are in boxing. Times have changed, and we have to move with the time.
Right. And getting back to Clarissa Shields, you know, speaking of Olympians, and Savannah Marshall, as I mentioned, they'll be fighting on a card on December 11th, not against each other, but hopefully we get to see that matchup down the road, too, because Marshall's the only one to have ever beaten Clarissa Shields in a boxing match. Of course, we know Shields lost their second MMA fight, but she's a boxer, and to get down to business on December 11th, and that could be a good fight in the wings, because Marshall's a good fighter, and she's bigger, and yeah, we'll see what happens there. That's probably going to happen somewhere in 22, we hope.
Yeah, well, I'm glad to see Clarissa Shields get to reality, you know.
Yeah.
I know, you know, the MMA gave her the payday she was looking
for. She was looking for the money,
Yeah, they waved the money at her. She couldn't turn it down, but I think she can get paid the same type of money, you know. She just has to be promoted in the right way, you know, same way they do women's tennis, women's golf, and same way with women's boxing. You just have to be promoted, marketed right, and stuff like that. And I believe that she's that kind of draw. I think what hurt her, what happened up there in Michigan, that fight where somebody got injured, a family member to injure somebody, I think that hurt her economically, where it ran a lot of different sponsors away. Women's boxing, Bob, should take off. And I want Eddie Hearns and Bob Barham and all them that listen to this, you know, that got TV deals. They say, well, there's no advertisers with bite for women. I just think of every woman's product, you know, from here, tampons, fingernail polish, you know, you name cars. Women have so much that they do. If you go to those advertisers and look at the demographics and things like that, women's boxing would take off overnight. and that's what we got to do in boxing. I look at them advertisers to bring that money in when the women are fighting on TV, Bob.
Right, right. And again, you know, there's some big names out there, you know, between Katie Taylor and Clarissa Shields and all the other ones we've been mentioning, Serranos and stuff. So the fighters are there, you know. It's not like it's a bad product by any means, you know. It's a good product, and people are slowly getting to accept the fact that these girls can fight.
Oh, absolutely. You remember, Bob, we did that LPGA event, women's golf,
up
there at the Schuylkill County Country Club. John Flanagan in the LPGA. So, hey, look, maybe we should do a female fight up in Pottsville. Maybe Mark's Hall.
There we go. Yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll do good in Pottsville with that.
Yeah. There you go. Okay. I like
hey,
that.
But Bob, I think we're going to work on that. Hey, look, Bob, in closing, we got 30 seconds. You know, we want to thank everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review radio show. My name is Aaron Snow. They call us Hall of Fame Trainer of Champions. We travel the world for past, present, and future stars. And our radio aficionado, Bob Murray. Thank you so much, Bob.
Just want to take a quick mention, too. Want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Big U.S. holiday coming up next week. So start of Black Friday and everything else. But everybody, happy Thanksgiving, too.
Right.